Jy luister na Coach Freek Vermaak op Basraak Web Radio.
And we've got a very special guest here. We met her on Friday evening. Come on now. Through one of our team members, Kingston Ndingi. And he's like her father. He's like a father to her. She's actually all the way from Cape Town. She was brought up in Cape Town. But now she's representing us here in KZN. And hallelujah. She shared her story with us on table. I was so tired, but when she started sharing her story, she's so dynamic. She's so full of God and full of fire. Young lady, a new generation that God is raising up. We saw it, John, in Freyd. You said we've been here for a week in Durban, but that's not... You enjoyed so much here in Durban that... Actually, we've been in Freyd, and that's where we saw God. Where was that school? Lakeside Primary.
That's right.
Afterwards that we saw how many grades, 3s, 5s and 4s and 5s.
Yes.
About all of them surrendering their lives to Christ and all giving their hearts to them. And I said to you and the team afterward, I said, if we can stop them here, not to go to prison.
Come on.
They don't have to go to prison. We don't just want to talk to the people. And if we can raise, if God is going to raise up a new generation.
That's right.
That's going to change this country.
And I believe it's going to
be, we see it.
Strongly believe it.
It's, but our young people has got so much challenges in that. And it's, they are so hungry for the truth. That's why. Give them the truth. Speak the truth. And this special lady that we met on Friday, I asked her if she can join us today on the program. Pumi Sitoli, am I right?
Yes, correct.
Pumi, you can greet the listeners. Everybody is listening in the Southern Cape. You know the Southern Cape. You're going to share a bit later about your time in Mossel Bay. Beautiful place, huh? Don't you miss it?
Yeah, it's similar to Durban, but Mossel Bay is the best.
Wow, yeah.
It's Garden Route is the best.
Amen. Paradise. So, Pumi, thank you for making the time. You had a service this morning. You shared your testimony. You're going to share. And I want to ask you, Balsak is going to be a bit of English throughout this afternoon.
Come on.
But praise God for grace and for English that we can communicate with each other.
Yes,
like a bridge. You have a very, very special story to share, especially with young women. That is such under such pressure, such. We saw it in Graafrenet, John. Young, it's actually children that has to bring up children.
Yeah, very and early ages.
That's why when you shared your story on Friday evening, I knew that you had a special message. So I want to invite you, dear listener. Contact your neighbor, tell your neighbor, put on your radio very hard in the community at your house. Tell them to come and drink tea or coffee with you and that they can listen to this young woman. She's going to give you hope this afternoon. She's going to give you hope. And my dear sister, it's such a privilege to have you on the program. Share a bit about your childhood life. Where did everything start?
Okay. Greetings in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Blessed is Denam van die Here.
Amen.
Praise
him. Ek is by die Kap. Afrikaans is always going to be there, even though I'm here in Durban. I'm learning Zulu.
Oh.
Ek is by a leaf for you.
I say.
Greetings. My name is Mpumi Sitoli. Full name Nobumelelo. It is such an honor and a humble journey to be part of this show. We bless the Lord for the divine appointment.
Amen.
I was saved when I was in high school. I started at a very young age. I matriculated when I was 15 years old. Luckily, those days, there was SCO at school. So we had ministries where we would pray during breaks, lunch, or after school.
Was that now in Guguletu?
No, in Khayelitsha.
Khayelitsha.
I used to go at Ukolo High School. That is where I met Jesus at school.
How old were you?
I was 14.
Wow.
14
so
during my grade
11. So that was people from the outside coming in,
ministering
the gospel.
Yes.
Wow, you were fortunate.
Yes.
Before you go on, I just want to know, I'm very interested in the meaning of a name. You say your name, your real name is? Your full
Nobumelelo.
Meaning?
Success.
Wow! Praise
Amen.
God. Be stayed in to hear about success.
Amen.
Okay, so you gave your life to Christ in primary school?
In high school, yes.
And then?
Yes. And then I fell on the journey. I got pregnant when I was doing my matric. And then I passed my matric with exemption, praise God, because I was living under grace, not by my power. And then first year, I could not study further, even though I passed very well. My dad could not afford, and he advised that I stay at home and look after my kid. And then as I was at home, then I heard that there is a place that is called Eziko, Kwalanga, where they were doing cooking and catering. And then I was fond of cooking, or I had this hunger that if I work with food, I will never go hungry again. So that's where the passion of food started in my life. And then I went to register for the cooking and catering. And
you were still pregnant, or was your child born?
Yes, my daughter was born already. Okay. But I was a young mother.
I just want to ask you, because we saw it in the schools in Vrye.
Mm.
When I spoke about porn and sex out of marriage, there was a reaction among the kids.
Mm. Yes.
Especially the girls. I didn't know that girls would react like that to porn. You were one of those girls that a boy promised something to.
Yes.
And he promised you the world.
Correct. It's more of trying to fit to the society.
Okay.
More than anything else.
Okay.
Because
sure.
It was never in my desire, but because I studied when I was very young, because I matriculated when I was 15. So already there was peer pressure.
Okay.
Because at that age, I should be doing maybe grade 10 or grade 7 or 8, but I was in grade 12 already.
And
so
you were 15 years
yes,
old?
Yes, I was 15. Wow. So the peer pressure from the other peers, it was there because I had to also be like them.
Mm.
So I wanted to fit.
To fit,
yeah.
I wanted to fit to the crew.
Oh.
So.
But it sounds like you and your dad had a great relationship, a good relationship.
Very good.
Is it? Did they serve the Lord, your parents?
Not at all. My grandmother.
Oh, always a mammy.
Save the Lord. Even though she was convicted from Esangoma to be a born again Christian.
Yes. Wow.
Praise God.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Father.
So, my grandmother has been the foundation of my spiritual journey in terms of accepting Jesus as the Lord and Savior.
Okay.
And even finding a family church.
Yeah. So you discovered your passion for food.
Due to the circumstances.
Circumstances, out of your circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And then you went to study?
I went to study and I excelled. I was looking forward to the practicals because I knew that I'm going to eat.
How did you manage? How was it possible to go and study? Where did the funding come from?
Okay.
What happened?
Because it's a community project.
Yeah.
So the fees were not so expensive. You would pay like a minimum, to be correct, I think it was about 400, 500 rand that you would pay. And then the other one was subsidized. So my dad, because he has passion of education, that he thinks that it's the key for us to succeed, he was willing. He was willing that at least it's a short
take
course, it
effort,
can keep you busy.
For you.
Yes, and I told him I want to work and better my situation at home. And currently with the short course that I'm going to do, I'm guaranteed after the training that I'll get a job.
Wow.
So that drive me to say that I need this. Because the situation was very bad at home, even though we were surviving.
Okay.
And I will take home even for my neighbors, because I'm coming from a very poor neighborhood. From Langa, Kwalanga.
Mm.
And it was so amazing how I'll be collecting food even from my fellow students that they don't want to take home, but I was willing. I was willing to take the food home because I knew it's not just me, everyone. So I had that passion of sharing what I have, not just taking it for myself because I could have just eaten the food and come back full. But I knew that everyone needed it. And then I excelled. I really excelled. I was one of the top in class. There were three of us when we graduated that were top. And I was so proud of myself. It gave me hope that truly there is a future. Because I was born again. I had the sun inside of me.
Inside my life. That's what I want to ask you now. For me, my sister, is you said you were born again. You gave your life to Christ before you fell pregnant. How did you overcome that thing? Because Afrikaans' name for overcome is Basrak, the name of this program, our ministry. How did you overcome that guilt and shame to excel again? To overcome that fear, that guilt, that shame? As a child of God, you slipped, you made a mistake, you fell pregnant. But a lot of people don't stand up from that.
Amen.
They feel that God is finished with them. They disappointed Him, they failed Him. How did you manage to overcome that?
I believe that one of the gifts that God gave me is faith.
Wow.
And I had that inner person, which, because I accepted Jesus, that kept on speaking to me that you can do it. And that inner voice gave me strength. And I would talk on my own. I was talking to God, but then it was like I'm talking on my own. I have a lot of self-talk where I walk on the streets. And I will say that my situation can be better. And I will not die poor. And I had that fighting spirit in me, which is faith, that it can only get better from here.
Sure.
And I believed so much in myself. I didn't need anyone to motivate me. I believed in myself that I am destined for greatness. And that kept me going, because I kept on saying it to myself that I will succeed. I spoke words that gave life to me, even though it didn't make sense that time because of my situation. That inner person that kept on saying that you can do it, listen to the voice, because God speaks. I believe that God really spoke to me when I was on my own, and it gave me that zeal to fight, and that it can only get better from here. I knew that I will never die poor, and I won't die because of hunger, and I'm a better person from the current situation that I was. So God gave me a big measure. I won't say a same measure from others. I had a big measure of faith, because even though I didn't see where I'm going, but I had faith that I'll become a better person after this.
Amen.
Amen.
Sure. So you're still a teenager, a mom. You're a student, and you work.
Yes.
You started working where then?
I got my first job at Primi Piatti, and thanks to Francesco, an Italian guy that really believed in me. I remember I could not speak English fluently because it was not our first language.
Yeah.
All I remember what I said on that interview, I need a job so that I can go back to school. And
so
I got
you were
the
prepared
job.
To do anything?
Anything.
So where did you start with in that restaurant?
I was working as a scullery lady, washing dishes.
That's where you started?
Yes, that's where I started. It was a nightmare. But the inner man in me was just fighting for me. I wanted to shine in everything that I do. I wanted to excel. I had that zeal that I'm better.
Sure.
I showed off in everything that I do. When I cleaned, I made it so much that a person will come and compliment that, wow, you've done a great job. And I didn't stand there because I've done my duties. I'll go around sections offering people help where I can help them. And for
so
that...
So what you say, sorry, you want to interrupt you. You say you gave that extra step.
Yes.
And that's why this guy saw that there was something in you. Because you were prepared to do more than it was expected from you.
Exactly.
Okay, so exactly. What happened then?
From then, he asked me if I still want to go back to school, as he sees my zeal and my resilience in terms of working and pleasing him in his restaurant, and every manager speaking so highly of me. So he asked me if I still want to go back to school, and I said yes. And I did apply already. I was just waiting for the response from the university to say that they accepted me. And then immediately I got the response. I showed him, and he was keen. He was ready that let's walk the path. And he didn't take Premier's money. He took it out of his own pocket.
Wow.
To make sure that I go to school, and I bless the Lord for that man that gave me hope that there is a light ahead.
My sister, there's a lot of people, I can say it's a lot because I know of a lot, not just a couple. I know of a lot of people that got that opportunity, but they didn't take it. You got an opportunity to go back and back to school. You took it.
I ran with it.
You ran with it.
Hallelujah.
Was it easy?
It was never easy. I was a teenager. I was a mom. I was working from Thursday till Sunday at the restaurant.
Long hours.
Long hours. And I was working. I was at school Monday to Friday. But I knew that it won't stay like that. It was just temporarily.
Wow.
All I needed was to make sure that I have food on the table, my kid is taken care of, I'm studying, I'm passing, and when I get that crown, I'll be victorious. So everything that was happening, because when you're young, you've got all the energy.
Yeah.
I don't want to lie. You've got all the energy, but it's just that you put that energy to good use, to things that matters. I ran because I knew that it won't be a lifetime. It's just for a short space of time. And I need to push so that I get where I need to be.
Yeah. So faith with works, not just faith.
No, not just faith.
Faith with works.
With works.
Yeah, and works with faith.
Works with faith, because I was even offered a bursary, a scholarship at school for my second year. And I said, no, I do have a sponsor. To show that I passed very well.
Come on.
And praise God for such strength, and because I couldn't do it without Him.
It's grace, huh? It's
grace. Basrak, jy kan enige uitdaging of bekommernis in jou lewe. Basrak, Basrak.
My sister, you just said before this song, Overcomer from Adisa, that you were at a lot of obstacles, challenges to get your studies finished. Being a teenager, being a mom, being still young, still want to go out, still enjoy your life, but that major responsibility of being a mother of a young daughter. And then you got this opportunity to go and study, and you studied. You did not only did study, but you finished your studies with.
I finished my diploma within the set time period. Of my studies, which it was 2005 when I finished my diploma.
Okay.
But I worked again at Primi in their central kitchen, and from there I moved and I worked for Pick and Pay, and from there I worked for Tiger Beg Hospital. I worked for Mossel Bay Hospital. So I hopped around
the whole
industry.
Time in the food industry.
In the food industry, I've also worked in call centers. I remember at one stage in my life where I was not fulfilled in terms of money. So I decided, because food industry, in reality, it doesn't pay as much as the other. Mm. Like, if you are an engineer, you get paid more.
Yes.
But in food, it's not so much.
So your diploma was now in the food.
I did consumer science, food and nutrition.
Okay,
yes.
Okay. Because you always had that desire for nutrition, especially for kids.
Yes.
That is underfed.
Yes.
That. Okay.
Yes. And then I worked in a call center, Marcus Events. It groomed me a lot because we were selling conferences, summits and trainings. I think even with my vocability and English got better, because I was talking now with people that are top management, of which I needed to be aligned with them. So I learned a lot there. I remember one of my breakers was that I invited former Metro Rail, now it's called PRASA, for a multi-shift operation event where all provinces, they came through to the event. And because I was the one that made the conference run, so they gave me an opportunity to go and meet the delegates.
Sure.
And the delegates were so surprised to see such a young person because they thought that they speak to an older person over the phone. It was such an amazing experience. I grew even there. I was offered even a senior position where I was an assistant manager. And then we changed the market to overseas where we were selling conferences and summits for overseas countries. And then because I had that zeal that I needed to make more money, then
was that you because you don't want to go back to poverty? Is that the thing
exactly,
that was pushing you?
Exactly, because the lifestyle, the more you grow, the more you desire big, better things. And you have your own set of standards that you set yourself. You have your dreams that you want to reach. And then you tend to panic when you are in the industry that doesn't give you what you want. And then I started to hop around.
But that's also dangerous.
It is dangerous, but when you are immature, that's not the focus now. No. You just want to make sure that you live according to the standards that you set for yourself.
Okay.
And I moved from there and I went to Salt Direct where I was selling cell phone contracts. And I did exceptionally well. I was one of the best sellers. I utilized the data very well. I got awards, cash, and like pizza oven, where I was rewarded for my hard work. And then I had to go back and realize that I did not study to go and sit at the call center. And I remember one time I was challenging this owner of the garage in Khayelitsha. I went to buy Fed Cook and I was not impressed. And I said, I can make better Fed Cooks than this.
How old were you then?
I think then I was 21 or 22.
Okay, so your child was about 6 then?
Yes, yes.
Your daughter, okay.
And
so you said to me, you'll make better Fed Cook than he.
Definitely.
And he accepted the challenge.
He accepted the challenge. He gave me a job, actually. That I must make sure that the kitchen runs smooth, train the staff, and make sure that the customers are happy. Okay. And I did exceptionally well because that is what I knew, that is what I was good at.
Yes.
And I had a good relationship with the customers. Everyone was so happy.
Wow.
And then I think 3 months down the lane, he could see that it's running on its own, even though I'm not there. Then because I was a liability, I was an expense to him, then he let me go.
Okay.
And I had an opportunity to work for Lady B Deli Dinner in their production, where we were doing rotis, pies. From there, I moved to Pick and Pay, where we did, when the Fresh Living magazine came, we were busy marketing it, preparing recipes in store. They were doing convenience foods. We were checking quality and all of that. It was quite an interesting one because you were more like a food specialist in store. And other companies came through like Barilla and I&J because they could see that the Pick and Pay brand is growing. Even Woolworths adopted what Pick and Pay has done because now Woolworths has in-store chefs,
yes,
where they also give samples and all of that. I also see some of the spas and Checkers, they do adopt that where they'll have like in-store promoters giving samples and all of that.
Mm.
But Pick and Pay had a winner.
Okay.
And from Pick and Pay, I had a zeal that I was not doing much according to my capability. And I desired to be working whether for education or Department of Health in the food services. But I didn't have any information as to how do I go in. And because God gave me so much measure of faith, I would go to the offices, head office of Department of Education, ask who is responsible. I was hoving around and seeking information. Being an internet, I had that zeal that this is what I want. When God put something
in me. So you were
like
a sponge. You just
yes. When God put something in me, I ran for it. Yes. And up until I know I get the satisfaction that I got it.
Yes.
And indeed, because God saw that I wanted and I was hungry for it, He gave it to me. I had an opportunity to get an interview in Mossel Bay. I didn't know anything about Mossel Bay. I didn't know anything about food services and government. I had no inside information. I came with the information that I had from the private sector and from school, and I applied it on the interview, and with God's wisdom, and I must say this, before I got that opportunity, I had so many challenges, because as young as I was, I still wanted to enjoy life. I got to a point whereby I was drugged. I almost got raped by the person that I knew.
The person you knew who drugged you, that tried to rape you.
Yes.
So, wrong place.
Wrong places.
Wrong choices.
Yes, wrong choices. And then that gave me a wake-up call.
So
that
sounded,
I must go back to my first love.
Like it was not successful. God's grace was there
yes.
to protect you.
Yes.
Wow.
It felt like I was away from God. Even though I would go to church, but I was not there fully. So, with those two incidents, it drew me closer to God.
Okay.
I remembered my first love.
Sure. And you missed it.
I remembered my first love, and I cried to God.
Sure.
Because He was my only hope. I never had that relationship with parent where I'll go and confide with my parents that this is how I feel.
So they were not there to listen to you. It was not
in our society and how our upbringing in terms of our black race, it's not easy to confide to your parents about the challenges that you have in your teenage life. In general,
I also want to say to you, especially I've got teenage boys now, and last night I had to ask them forgiveness, because I just want to speak and I don't want to listen. I need to listen to them. They've got things on their heart. They've got questions. They've got struggles, and I always tell them, don't run away from me. I'm your dad. Run to me. But if they run to me, I must listen to them.
Man.
So it's a big problem. It's a big problem for our youth, our children, people. Is there somebody I can listen, that will listen to me and I can share my heart with?
Yeah.
So you found that in God.
I found that in God.
Wow.
I found that in God. That's why I did a lot of self-talk, which I was not talking alone. I was talking to God. But if a person would see me walking on the street talking, they would think that I'm talking to myself.
Yeah.
So I drew closer to God. I fasted and I prayed and I cried to God. And I started to meditate more on His word. I remember one of the promises that I made to God as I wanted what I wanted, a job at the Department of Health. And I said, test me, Lord. Try me.
Sure.
And I said to Him, take me to a place where I will serve You wholeheartedly, where I will seek Your face. I think all of what had happened reminded me that I'm falling out of God's grace. And I'm thinking that I'm doing things because I'm capable of doing it. And God gave me just that. Because I knew no one in Mossel Bay. I had no family. And it was a foreign place. I didn't have TV. I didn't have friends. It was me and my Bible. I was forced to read the word, even though I didn't want to, because there was no other entertainment.
I just want to ask you this question, because I've been there. How many years ago is that?
That was 2013.
What will you do today to have that back?
Anything.
It's a special time. You don't understand it when you're
anything.
There. Oh, but to be so close to God is amazing. So, okay, you ended up in Mossel Bay, and it's you and God.
Yes.
Did the change then come where you just wanted a job and make money and earn money, good money? Did that change then come to say, I need to learn what I have to learn in this time, in this period of my life? I've got this opportunity now, and I need to learn what I need to learn, because I know I'm destined for more. You're going to share with the listeners now about a dream that you have, about where you're going to work and where you're going to have a place, and when you're going to share that now with them. But I just want to know, if was that the time of your life where it was not about money anymore? Passion was what that was pushing you. Passion for what God put in your heart. I always tell people, make passion your career. Because when you do what you love, and you are passionate about it, money is the last thing that you worry about, because it will come.
Amen.
It will come. Okay, so what happened then in Mossel Bay?
Mossel Bay, I was just in the right place, because the impact that I wanted in terms of nutrition, I wanted to exercise actually what I've learned, and I wanted to be directly involved in terms of people's well-being. And in Mossel Bay, I found a home, Potter's Hand Impact Ministries of Southern Africa, wow, called FIMSA, under the leadership of Pastor Miller. I learned to serve. It's a small church. I learned to serve. I learned to open my house for people to come and fellowship and worship and use my resources.
So you had to learn that.
I had to learn that.
That servanthood is not a thing. That
no, it doesn't just come. I had to learn, because where there's a need, I needed to fill the gap.
Wow.
Where they said, we don't have white plates, and I have white plates, I cannot say I don't have.
You must bring.
I must offer, because there was a need at church. There was a need in the ministry.
And
so,
the need is the calling.
Yes.
The need that you see is what
yes,
you're called to do.
And I had to stand on the gap, and I had to fill each and every gap. And all I can say is that small churches, they groom you for bigger space churches. You'll never grow in big churches because you hide in other people. Because my home church is very big. Mm. Langa Baptist Church is very big. But in small church, you can't hide, because you can see that there's no workers. Mm. And you must jump in and do whatever that needs to be done.
And the Lord said, if you are faithful in a little,
yes,
then you will be
faithful
in
more.
Yes.
Amen. And to God be the glory, I finished my assignment early. I was obedient. Sure. I was hungry for God. I was hungry for the works of God. Everything that I did it to please God. I remember the community that I stayed in before I left. I had kids coming over. And my daughter would say, cook, mommy, they're hungry. So I knew I had a mandate that I need to feed these kids. And before I left, I shared clothes with them, my daughter's clothes. And everyone was so happy and moved that we have something that we'll remember you with. The impact on its own, I didn't have much, but the little that I had, I was able to share and make an impact in other people's lives. It gave me a lot of fulfillment.
So that fulfillment came when the transition happened from, I wanted to receive,
yes,
then it's better to give than to receive. Is that what I hear?
The transition came after learning servantship.
Yes.
After growing even in this. Because we must remember, when you accepted Jesus, you are a baby.
Yes.
You need to be nurtured.
Yes.
And you need a good shepherd that will follow.
Mm.
Not just give you a word and not make follow-ups. I think that's where we fall out of grace, because people don't make follow-ups.
Sure.
They give you Jesus and that's it.
Yeah.
You don't know this Jesus journey. You have to figure it yourself. And sometimes you don't even have that zeal, because the enemy is trying to draw you back to where you belong. But if you have that person, that one person that keeps on checking up on you, mm, and takes you through the journey, and when you are feeling weak, that person prays with you.
Wow.
And you can regain your strength. I think I got that in Mossel Bay. I had a family that was intercessing and interceding on my behalf. I had those parents, Umamfundisi, the reverend pastor, that kept on following, how are you, how are the kids, what do you need, what are the areas of need.
Mm.
It didn't end in salvation, as in accepting God as the Lord and Savior Jesus. It was more family nurturing, of which I think that's where we also lack as believers. That all those that have accepted Jesus, we tend to leave them hanging.
Yeah.
And they don't know what to do and where to go and how do they grow,
yeah,
spiritually. So I got nurtured, and then everything of giving, it came natural, because I was guided by the Holy Spirit, and
yes,
someone took me through the journey,
yes,
and someone walked with me. And it was not more of the talk now, it was the walk itself.
Wow.
And then it came natural in terms of giving. I didn't give because I had much. I gave because I knew how it feels not to have. So that's why it was easy for me to open my house and give the kids, because I knew I was once there.
You knew. Amen.
Amen.
You come from there.
I know how it feels.
Where you come from.
I know how it feels to be hungry and not have anything to eat.
There's a song. Zach Williams, Dolly Parton sings this song. There was Jesus.
Amen.
It was there where Jesus was. It was there where he was the whole time, even when you were a kid. With this journey with him, I always tell people he's more interested in a journey. We just want to come to the end. We just want the success. We want the final result. But God is interested in the journey, because there he builds character.
Mm.
There he builds faith. He builds integrity. And like you said, you had a spiritual backup. You had people around you. The fivefold ministry is there to get you to a place of, to become of service. There's one of the meaning of that is to give you a backbone.
Amen.
And the next thing is to come to the fullness of the Christ man, or the Christ of Christ, where Jesus is seeable in your life. Jesus, you can hear that this woman, you can hear a voice today. You must see the zeal in her eyes, in her life, and you hear she comes from very, very poor background. Everything was against her. Not to sit and speak to you today.
Jou oorwinning in Christus Radio. Basraak Web Radio.
Pomi, you are so special and we enjoy the time together.
Thank you.
I love this program and I know people are going to download this podcast all over the world. There's people listening in Johannesburg, Pretoria, Cape Town, Durban, East London. On our radio station or our internet radio on the website. They're listening online. There's a lot of thousands of people listening in the Southern Cape on Heartbeat FM. And, you shared with us your time in Mossel Bay was a time of, like the song that, Zach Williams and Dolly Parton sang. There was only Jesus. But he came through a church, a spiritual family that supported you, that believed in you, that backed you up, helped you to grow in him. But then a time came that you knew your time was over there.
Yes.
Isn't that right? Your season was over there. What happened then?
I got promoted. I got promoted and I got an offer at Tigerberg Hospital. And it was not easy for them to let me go because they felt that it was too soon.
Yes.
And I felt that I completed my assignment before time because I was obedient.
Yes. Obedience. Obedience is very important, right?
I think it reminded me of the Israelites when they took 40 years and to realize that the trip was not supposed to take 40 years, but because they were not obedient, so it took longer.
Yes.
So I think my obedience made it possible that God felt that it was time.
And you knew.
It was time for me to grow financially, time for me to go and serve on bigger churches, not just small.
Wow.
I went back to my home church, which is Langa Baptist Church, and I was in Tigerberg Hospital. I knew that what I have grown there, I need to carry on. And now it's going to be more challenging than it was in Mossel Bay. And I bless the Lord because when I got to Tigerberg, it was such a bigger family, more than 100 staff members that I needed to know even their names.
Sure.
And you know, when you have the light, you cannot hide it.
Yeah.
I had to shine my light. I had to put it on the table. So at work, we would have prayers on weekends when we were together and when I worked weekends. And then at times where there will be like memorial services, God will use me to minister and to worship and to also direct the program.
Sure.
And people will be so comfortable to come and share their problems. And we pray and ask God to help them. So I was no longer a manager. I was more of a support system. That person that is always there to listen to their problems. And I bless the Lord for using me. and taking my light.
It sounds like your preparation up to now, being at the hospital, is where the Lord also said, to those who much is given, much is expected.
Amen.
If you are sitting in a position of a manager,
yes,
it's expected of you to manage.
Yes.
Not just earn a salary.
Yes.
I've put you in that position because I trust that you are capable of serving the people.
Mm-hmm.
Don't run to me the whole time with problems.
Mm-hmm.
You're there to solve the problem.
Amen.
That's why. Is that where you ended up in that time of your life? That season?
Most definitely. Even with my colleagues, we knew that we would even fast and pray for even each other's problems. We were family.
Yes.
It didn't feel like work. We were family. God made it feel like family. It was no longer a workplace. It was a place that I would call home because God resided there.
Wow.
There was Jesus there.
Wow.
And then at Langa Baptist Church, I remember when I came back, God gave me a vision. And we were having an event. And I was in this group, according to our areas, we call it zones. So my zone was zone 4, the Kokoletu group, because I was staying in Kokoletu that time. And then we had to have an event that included food. So I had a vision as to how we can execute this event so that to make it interesting at the same time as we're learning the word and learning, giving people skills in terms of food. And I am equipped with the side of food. Then I spoke
to... You've been equipped.
Yes.
You've been loaded, trained for that time.
Exactly. So I was sharing with one of the ladies that I used to grow up with before I was even saved. It was so good to see a sister that we used to be together before the journey of Christ.
Mm.
And now we meet again in the house of the Lord.
Wow.
And when I shared the vision of how God unpacks this event... Because she was a trusted person, she was a reception. She was the front of the house of the church.
Yes.
And I'm just an ordinary person attending.
Mm.
She took the vision, shared it with one of our leaders, and the leader accepted it with open heart.
Wow.
And then I had to go through processes to make sure that I'm fully a member. I'm no longer just a person that stands behind now.
Mm.
But now I need
God
to go.
You to the
yes.
Front.
It was not a choice now.
Mm.
Because whenever we have meetings, the pastor's wife will ask, who is this person? Because I don't know this person. You always say, Mpumi this, Mpumi that, Mpumi this, Mpumi that.
Yeah.
I want to know this person. Who is this person? And the day of the event came, you know, starting from poster, they used my picture. I was wearing chef jackets and all of that. And I knew there's no turning back from then.
Wow.
I am for God. My skill is for God. My passion is for God.
Amen.
Everything that God has equipped me, He equipped me for the kingdom, not for myself,
Amen.
For the kingdom of God.
Yes.
And He took my light that I shoved under the table. He put it on top. I remember after the event, people said, no, you bought her. You bought her. There's no way. Where did you get this lady? Where did you get this lady? Now I realize that truly I am the light.
Yes.
Because I always hide underneath thinking that there's enough skill because the church is big.
Yes.
But it was time for me to serve on the bigger scale.
Mm.
And I didn't go back.
So servanthood never stops. There's no final place of I've served now enough.
No.
Serve, because you cannot become great in the kingdom.
No.
You cannot serve.
Not at all.
Yes.
I continued, I was faithful, and I thank God for Mosul Bay, because when I came back, I came with a zeal for the kingdom.
Sure.
I was armed.
You were ready.
I was
like
armed.
David.
I was
like
David.
Like listening to you the whole time, it's like David prepared for Goliath.
I was
the platform
armed.
Was set. Yeah.
And the last event, I moved from hospitality, and I was on wellness team. Remember, I was working for the... for the hospital as a food service manager. So, a church on the wellness team, I was the nutritionist.
Wow. Strength.
God moved me from one ministry to another. And I was there with nurses and doctors dietitians, but you know what? God took my light under and put it on top. Everyone valued my input. It was never that I'm higher than you, what is the rank and all of that. I brought unity there. Thanks to God, praise to God. And I was more like a link for everyone, because I would take time even for the event. I was more like the one running with the vision,
yes,
inviting people to come for our event, ambulance services, the nutrition, from head office, the dietitian that was heading the Western Cape came to our event to come and speak and also give information, leaflets, flyers to the church. We had different organizations, even where Udedi was working, the Pilots organization that looks after the ex-convicts.
Yep.
They were there. So we looked at health holistic, financially, education, mental health was there. Department of Health was there. Nutrition was there. St. John's was there. So it was such a success that I was so filled even with myself, seeing that indeed I am for God. Even when I do something, I do it wholehearted, not just for my benefit, but for the kingdom of God.
Oh, yeah.
It gave me a lot of fulfillment that truly I am a servant.
So you knew at that time also, everything that you did it for the Lord?
Yes.
And promotion will come from Him?
Yes.
Okay.
Amen. And then I think in 2018, I came to visit. I love traveling. I came to visit Durban, and I went to Mazimtoti. Mazimtoti is more like Kent's Bay.
Yeah.
And it was so refreshing. I decided then on the spot that this is where I belong.
Right.
And
leaving the beautiful, beautiful
Mother
place,
City.
Mother City.
Yes. And you know, before I decided that, I was looking for a house since 2016 to buy, and I never got it.
In Cape Town?
In Cape Town.
Now, when you came to KZN, was there family, was there somebody you knew here?
My cousin, yes, was here, but I didn't move because of her. It was in me that it is time. But I consulted with my kids, and they were in agreement. That Durban.
So you had your second daughter already?
Yes.
Then. Okay.
They were in agreement that we're going Durban. They visited Joburg. They knew Joburg. They didn't know anything about Durban, but they had that. Durban is the place, mommy, that we want to be.
Wow.
So it was.
So in the family of your three, there was the unity.
Yes, there was unity, and I knew that if there's unity with my kids, everyone is happy.
Amen.
We started to look for schools. And we started to look for places to buy, ask people around. I would fly in and out of Durban to come and view places.
But you still had your job at the hospital?
Yes, I still had my
so
job.
So there was no job offer here?
No job offer.
Just the desire
just,
to stay
just
here.
The desire. And then I remember we saw Mowat Park High School and we loved it. And we said, this is the school that I would love my daughter to go to. And we didn't know where it is. But we just loved the school. It was girls' schools, and it was good academic, and we were like, at least it's affordable. This is the one. I remember where I stay, I saw the place on the internet, and I felt in love with it just from the outside, and I said, Lord, I'd really love to stay in such a place. And I didn't knew that I'll get a place there, but I saw it, and I said, this one, it catch my eye.
Yeah.
And, you know, When they say that the plan of God, nothing will stand on its way. I came, I did a lot of viewing, and I got the flat from the place that when I set my eyes on, and I was like, this is where I want to be. Mm. And fortunately, or according to God's plan, it was in a vicinity, 5 minutes away from the school that we saw on the internet, Mowat Park. And God just aligned things together.
But it sounds like, if I can come in here, that God was not at that, and still I can see this now, where a man disappointed you with your kids, God was also a husband.
Yes.
In this whole
yes.
thing.
Yes, I've been a single parent since.
Yes. Yes.
I've been a single parent since, and it's never been an easy journey.
Yeah.
But what I've learned in my single parent life is that God removed the fathers because they were not good role models for the kids.
Yeah.
And he positioned me in a way that I learned to depend on him and only him.
Wow. Wow. And it's possible, my sister.
And at first, I felt like it's a punishment. As I grew in God's word and in God's wisdom and knowledge and understanding,
that relationship became deeper.
I God revealed a lot of things that, as much as children mess around, but they respected me a lot. They listened to me because they knew that they had no one but me. And the upbringing made it easy because it was one word. It was not two words. We didn't have conflict of religion because it was my religion. It was my God. It was my Jesus. So they were forced or they were structured in a way that mom serves Jesus. We cannot serve another God.
Wow.
Because if now we had, if I was in a state of the fathers were there, it was going to be divided. They would have a choice that, no, I'm following daddy, not you, mommy. Mm. But now God made it so conducive that the kids only follow me and my upbringing and what God has taught me in terms of growing up children. I don't want to lie. There's no recipe. It's not an easy journey. But God's love has made it look easy. And accepting, I think that's one thing that we as young mothers tend to, we tend to seek validation, seek to be like others, and forget that if God has allowed a situation, it is His will. Because if it was not His will, He wouldn't have allowed it. And I always say, all things work together for good.
Amen.
And I've seen it. Indeed.
You've seen it.
My hardship is working for good. Amen. It has molded me to be the woman that I am today. I am not looking left or right. I'm looking only on God for provision and everything. Because I only know God as my source.
Yes.
I don't
yes.
know my parents as my source of provider. I know only God.
Mm.
Because only God has shown Himself, even though I had my parents around. Because I learned at a younger age to depend on Him and only Him.
Amen.
And I realized that God is a jealous God. Maybe that's one of the reasons why the kids don't have a father.
It's true.
Because He was so jealous of me.
He loves you
and,
so much.
And He's calling for me because maybe He could see that they would have abandoned the calling because of I'll be focusing on the Father instead of focusing on Him.
Mm.
And it takes a lot of growth spiritually, God's wisdom, God's knowledge, God understanding. It's not something that you just master. It's deeper because it's a hard journey. When they say that, when the Bible says that we need to be Christ-like,
yeah.
It means that we'll also suffer the same persecution. We'll be rejected, we'll be mocked, we'll be called names. And all every pain that Jesus felt, that is what we'll feel on the journey. That's yeah. what I've realized. And I remember when I empower my sisters, I tell them pain is growth.
Wow.
I tell my kids pain is growth. If you don't feel pain, you're not growing.
No, no.
If you feel the pain, you're growing.
Yes, yes.
And I even tell my friends, get to a point whereby you numb. Get to a point whereby even if a person comes and pokes you, don't feel the pain.
Mm.
Then you know that you are a finished product. If you still feel ouch, you're still going to feel more ouch up until you don't feel the ouch anymore.
I was looking for the next song and I was thinking and it came up in my spirit. Nicole Millen singing My Redeemer Lives. I know.
Yeah, I know My Redeemer Lives.
Coming from Job saying, through all the pain that he went through, I still know that my Redeemer lives. I'm going to play this song to you, dear listener, and then I'm going to ask my sister, Pumi, or our sister, to introduce another guest that we also met on Friday evening. I believe you met here. Oh, I see my family.
She's my neighbor.
Oh, she's your neighbor. Yeah. So you're going to introduce your neighbor. And your neighbor was not always a good neighbor. She shared with us. She was a neighbor that you don't want to be your neighbor. But you need to stay tuned to Heartbeat FM. Your Heartbeat for Christ radio station to the program Basrak.
Basrak, jy kan enige uitdaging of bekommernis in jou lewe. Basrak, Basrak.
And then you've got this. She's now going into the pool. I don't know how she's surviving that water. But since I met her this morning when we picked her up at the church, I can see that this woman, this young one, she's a connector. She connects. She's not afraid of people. She's full of the Spirit. When we got here to Brent's house, she was like just linking up with his daughter. So, and apparently she was the one who brought you to know your neighbor sitting here with us. Will you please introduce your neighbor to our listeners?
Okay. Hi everyone. Please welcome Pilisa, meaning healer.
Healer.
Yes. Wow. Pilisa Damane. It's like a small lake.
I'm so glad you did the announcement because I would have been in trouble. Pilisa.
Amen.
Hila.
That's you. That's me. I believe that.
When you listened, you heard John's testimony Friday evening on the table, you said to us afterwards, you just shared your heart.
I don't know. It just took me to another place. It took me way back where Jesus fetched me from, in that deep, dark hole.
One translation said a horrible pit.
Horrible, a very horrible one. Like, my God, and my eyes were filled with tears just to think of the greatness of the Lord. God, the Lord is indeed great. He's good. And my story is a bit long and a bit different from my sister here next to me in Christ. But God is good. I'm going to try. The Holy Spirit will help me to try and make it short, but it's a very long one. God has been really good to me to even sit here and do this, what I'm doing right now. It's by grace. I believe God is really good. And when I think about the goodness of God, really, I just feel something, I don't know, the tears and the joy of the Lord really is my strength. And so this the issue with me, the problem started, we were raised in a religious family. My mother will take us to, I actually grew up in Sunday school, and I know that the devil, you know, the devil knows our future. He knows where we are going to. He knows exactly where we're going, where God is taking us to. And he will fight by all, make sure that we don't reach there.
Because it's after the calling.
Amen. Yeah, after the calling. So, as I said, I grew up in Sunday school. My mom is still a very religious woman, born again as well. Before she got born again, she will take us to a church, another church. And then she got born again, she will take us. We will attend services even during the week, whether we liked or not.
Also single so mother.
No, they're married, but my dad is not. We're still praying about him to be born again. Amen. But yeah, we believe God is going to change life.
For sure.
The problem started, to just cut the story short. I went to Vasi. Well, I was a virgin. I grew up to be this very shy girl who ran away from everywhere. I see a boy calling me, I will run and I will go to my mom. Mom, there's this boy who keep calling me, bothering me, and I was like that. And then I passed my matric, and then I went to Technicon here in Durban. And I think I was 18 when I got there, and I was still a virgin. And when I got here, when I was doing my second year, the problem started. Then I was introduced to a boyfriend, and then my life took a U-turn, because now I stopped attending classes, and basically I wasn't attending. I would go when I want, because this boyfriend of mine wasn't supportive that much, but he wanted us to do all those wrong things. I didn't attend as I should have been attending classes, and the second year I dropped. My parents, because they were working hard for us to get this good education, to make sure that we have bright future in front of us. But on the second year, I dropped, and they still sent money because they were paying for my education and everything. Then I dropped, but they kept on sending money, thinking that I'm attending.
So they thought you still, studying, but you stopped already.
I stopped already, and
so
they
that
thought
money,
that
money they didn't go to the university; they went to.
I was spending with this man, with this boyfriend of mine.
Okay.
Yes, we're just spending it, and I was very frustrated. I was very stressed because I knew this is not right. Something is very wrong. I remember I had pimples here. I think these are the pimples that show that you are stressed in my forehead all over here, because I was thinking I couldn't even sleep well at night, because I'm thinking, no man, my parents know that I am actually studying, and I'm actually not studying. I'm spending their money with this boyfriend that I found here in this place, and that is not how I was raised. My mom taught me about Jesus, and I attended, I grew up in Sunday school. Why am I doing this? What is happening? I didn't even know what's happening with me. I was this frustrated person. But it continued. Third year, I'm not studying. Fourth year, I'm not studying. I'm just moving around. I'm even carrying file as if I'm going to school, because I didn't want people like that who know me from back home to think that now I'm not going to school. I will still go. And then technicon, I will just sit there. And then I was, okay, now it's time to go home. I'm not even attending classes. It was just a miserable time in my life.
Fake.
I was living. I just hope someone, a student, is listening, because I have a message. Please study, because it's your future. This is for your future. Study, because now if you don't want what happened to me to happen to you, because you're still going to hear what happened after. Okay, fine. The fourth year, then I had to now go back home, because I told my parents that it's a 4-year diploma and then I'll graduate. When I went back home, then my father is asking me, oh, what happened? I'm not hearing anything about the graduation. I said a lie. No, it's still going to happen, Dad. But now what I need, I just want to go and look for a job in Joburg. It's still going to happen. Just because they're old people, they're not very educated, but I just said something. Then they said, oh, okay, if you say so. Then I went to Johannesburg, and oh my gosh. You know, Johannesburg, okay, maybe, I don't know. That's just not a place to be. Johannesburg is not a place to be.
Especially if you're broken.
Especially if you are broken and empty, exactly.
It will destroy you.
Because that is when all this mess started. Now, this boyfriend of mine told me, okay, now let's just move to Johannesburg. We went, and I didn't even graduate. I spent the 2 years of my life wasting them in Durban, here, in this place. Okay, fine. When you got there, that is when now I decided, you know what? No. Okay, because I didn't graduate, you definitely are not going to get a good job, because you did. No, I wasted my life, obviously, 2 years of my life, where I should have studied, but I didn't. Instead, I just did something else. And then when I got here, I got all these odd jobs. I wasn't even getting paid much, and I'm trying to survive, but it's not easy. And now my parents, they're telling me, since you graduated, because I'm the second born at home, since you graduated, you gotta have to help your younger ones with their studies. Because now they have this they always believe that if you have graduated and you're the older one, then you need to help your younger siblings. But I didn't graduate, and then I had to think, okay, what do I do now? Because I'm also thinking that I also want to finish my study. I didn't graduate, and I lied. I was actually living a lie.
Mm.
So I changed those jobs, getting peanuts. But with the little money that I was getting, I had to pay, pay their studies as well. I would send money. I was very frustrated, and the younger siblings will be demanding. I don't know. And sometimes I try to make a story. I won't be able to. But they will be like, "What do we do? Because now we need money. We are in varsity, and we need money to eat. We need money to do this and that." And I also thought I have little for myself. And then I started. I think I started living this life that wasn't me at all, because I started changing men. I started drinking.
So the boyfriend was gone.
The boyfriend, you know what? With the boyfriend, okay, he was still around, but we broke up. We broke up because he also, he wasn't doing anything with his life as well. Mm. And in Joburg, if you it's like your eyes now, they get opened now to, you see someone next to you is not even helping you with anything, you move to the next person. That's the life in Joburg. So we broke up because I found someone else who is going to help Mr. me, because Perfect. He wasn't Mr. Perfect. Mr. Perfect. I mean, I needed someone who was going to help me. I started drinking alcohol. I started smoking marijuana. I was just changing men because I needed to survive. Now the pressure I'm getting from my siblings, they need money. I'm getting these jobs that are paying me peanuts. If you're listening, please study and make sure that you graduate. Fight for your education. That's what I can say. Please fight for your education. Graduate, because the future is really dim if you don't. If you don't focus on your studies and make sure that you fight to graduate and get good education. So I didn't want to be sober. Okay, I did get. I was working in a call center for so many years, and during breaks, the tea breaks, the lunch, I don't want to be sober. I will just go down basement in the building. I smoke every tea break, every lunch, every day of my life. I did not want to be sober, not even for a second. When I'm sitting and when I'm working there, taking those calls, I'm just thinking, when is the next break? I just want to go down and have another joint. I always had it in my bag. I was moving around with joints in my bag. And I know that when I'm off, on my way back home, I am getting 2 liter wine so that I drink the whole time. Drink and I smoke. I drink and I smoke the whole time I am off. I did not want, beloveds, I did not want to be sober. I wanted to be high or drunk all the time. But sometimes something will happen in my heart and it will tell me, go to church. I'll go to church. I will cry. I will cry. God, please, please help me. But the minute I leave church, I go back to my joint. I know where I put my joints. I'll go take my joint. I smoke. I go. I always had alcohol in my fridge. I always had joints. And it was just that life. And what happened is one night when I was from work, because I was working shifts, one night when I was coming back from work, something told me, before that night, when I'm in church, I will even go to the front when they're calling the altar call, come, if you want to make things right with God, come to the front. I will go, I will cry, and I will believe that God has really changed me. But no, when I leave church, I start again. I go. It was a war. It was something. Devil was really fighting, and like I said, because the devil sees our future, he sees our calling, he knows where we're going with Christ. And that one night, that was in, before then again, this drinking, being high and all, I had this other boyfriend who was apparently this guy. When we met, he told me that he was an IT specialist and will take me to companies, and when we get there, I will see him fixing computers, and I believe that, okay, he is really an IT specialist because he's fixing computers and they will pay him. But now, when we get to his place, I will see that around 12 midnight, 1 a.m., he's actually talking on the phone in the sitting room. He's talking, and he changed the accent, like he's talking to Americans. And I'm wondering, what's going on? Then I wake up, and then I go to him, why are you on the phone at this time of the night? What's going on? And he will tell me, no, go back to sleep. I'll join you just now. Okay, then, but this thing will be bothering me. But no, man, no, this is not right. And then he will finally come to the bed, and then I can't sleep because I'm asking myself so many questions. He's asking me, why are you not sleeping? But what do you expect? I can't sleep because obviously you're not the person I thought you were. What, you're not even answering me. What are you doing on the phone, changing your accent as if like now you're an American? What's going on? What's going on? And I wouldn't want to answer my questions. Then it came to me, I think this person, I've heard about fraud and all. And then I said, you know what? I'm so sorry. Since you're not the person I thought you were, we have to break up. He changed from that person who was very weird, that smile telling me, yo, I love you so much, you're so beautiful and whatnot, I love you with all my heart. He changed. I saw a different face now. He's no longer the monster now. I'm thinking now, why are your faces changing now? You're no longer that person who told me you love me. What's happening? And he's telling me, you're not going anywhere. You are not going anyway, if you want to die, say that. Just say what you just said now again if you want to die. Oh, my heart was pounding like, oh my God, I don't have relatives in Joburg. I don't have no one. It's just me. What am I going to do? What am I going to do now? Okay. It was like that. I was living that life. I tried to go to the police, and he will just give the money because this guy was actually doing 419, apparently, and he's doing fraud. And he's not the person he told me he was. He thinks even to take me to these companies to fix it was just for me to think that he's actually doing this, whereas he's doing something else. And so with him, one night they came with a friend of his and the friend's girlfriend to fetch me from where I was working. And, So when they came, I used to actually come out through basement with colleagues who had cars because I wouldn't. They would be waiting there and they would cause all the drama because they want to force me into the car and all of that. But that night, the colleagues would tell me that my psychopath is actually waiting for me, wasn't they? Because he will actually go first and say and tell me if it's safe for me to go out or not. But that Friday he wasn't there. So when I went out, the friend was they were just looking around, looking for me where I was, and then he saw me first. The friend is like, come, Billy's here, come this side, come. And then, oh my gosh, because I didn't think that they would be there. Because now they were just, okay, I had to enter the car because now all the people were just looking at us. And then I entered the car. So when I entered the car, there's already cooler box. They have started drinking already. All the alcohol you can think of, Hennessy, Jack Daniels, the whiskey, the six-pack, beers, everything was actually there. And, okay, I told myself, you know what, I cannot, I just need to join them and just be drunk. That's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to be drunk because I know that I'm going to be stuck with them. They are not going to let go of me. They won't, I'm just going to be with them. I started drinking. I haven't even eaten. That's another thing. I never wanted to even eat because I wanted to get drunk as like now, because I had, if you eat and then you drink, it takes time for you to get drunk. But if you drink on an empty stomach, then you get drunk quickly. That is what I wanted. So I thought, okay, fine, anyway, I haven't even eaten. Let me just drink so that I can just get drunk. Now, okay, so we started drinking, and that was like around 3 o'clock. Yeah, we moved around with them. We moved from townships to suburbs to all over, like moved all over Durban, Joburg. We still in a township, and then the next moment we see ourselves in suburbs. We were all over Joburg that night. Okay, fine. What happened next is now we were tired. I think we were tired, and we wanted to go rest, go sleep by his place, and on the way, he will even fight me, and he will fight me. If like, for example, a man is looking at me or whatever the case may be, I don't know why he wanted to fight me, because I didn't do anything wrong. He slapped me and do all those things. But anyway, so he used to hit me. He used to wear Timberland boots to, oh my gosh, he used to just strip me, and I would see myself on the floor, and he would just step on me with these Timberland heavy boots. And okay, I used to have bruises like every day of my life. I used to have bruises. So I used to have braids like this because I knew they will hide me. Like, because I used to have blue eyes. I used to, hey, it was really bad. But then that night, we were on the way to his place. I do not know what exactly happened. But I think he lost control, or he fell asleep, or but the two at the back, because I was in the front next to him, and the other two were at the back. So I think we fell asleep, and he lost control, and he went out of the road, the car that is, and then hit the stop nonsense in one, I don't know, but then we hit that, and by the grace of God, the airbag pushed me out of the car before it hit the stop nonsense. The car hit the stop nonsense by the grace of God. And as it pushed me out of the car, remember, I think I passed out in the car. I was sleeping. I was just drunk. I passed out. It pushed. And when I fell on the tar road, I think I hit my head and this arm. And the other two at the back, they died on the spot. But I think what saved him, I'm not sure. I think he put on a seatbelt, I think, because he wasn't injured that much. I think he put the sprays, I don't know what you call this, sprays around the neck, and that saved him. But I woke up. Okay, I heard that they called the helicopter so it can take me quickly to the nearest hospital. And the helicopter came, and the others, they died already. And I was admitted in hospital, and I was in a coma for 2 weeks. And I think that is when they opened my neck, so I couldn't be able to breathe or to eat. I'm not sure, but then I was sleeping in a coma for 2 weeks. God happened. He woke me up. He woke me up from the coma. And I had long hair, and then when I woke up, I don't have hair. Like I'm just bald. I'm asking myself, what happened to my hair? What's going on? Where am I? And all. And then I was told that you've been here for more than 2 weeks, because we're actually in a coma for 2 weeks, and you woke up by the grace of God. And that is when I asked myself questions. I was drunk. I was high. I was doing all sort of sins. I was I don't know if there's something like a worst sinner, but I feel like I was the worst sinner in the world. Like, how come, God, you woke me up, and then I heard a voice saying that, because I want to use you. I don't want you to die yet, because I want to use you. Your story is going to change someone out there, because there's definitely someone who's going through what you are going through right now who needs to hear your story. So now, my life turned around in 2016, and when I was in that apartment coming from work, and the Lord told me to pray. I just heard a voice saying, pray. And then I knelt down, and when I opened my mouth, I was just crying, screaming, Lord, please forgive me for all the bad things that I've done. I am so sorry, Daddy. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. Please forgive. All it was just coming. All the bad things that God was just showing me. All the bad things that I've been doing with my life. And I cried. And after that, I felt such calmness, such peace, amazing peace. Peace that surpasses all understanding. And that was the turning point in my life. And that was around 12:01, and I was alone. I'm saying this, I was alone, because you don't need to go to church to be born again or for your life to change. You can be alone and God can speak to your heart, and you just listen to that voice and your life will never be the same again. It happened to me, and my life changed since then in 2016. And that was in August, and in November I went to my local church. I go to Assemblies of God. So I went to my local church, and then that is when I said my story, that this happened to me, and now I just want to worship God in a local church. And I got baptized on the 6th of November in 2016. And since then, I've never looked back. I hate the smell of cigarette.
Praise God.
When I smell of marijuana. When that building where I live, I think downstairs, and I would look, yes, man. God, do something about this. Change these people's lives. This is smelling so bad, man. And you know, and even when someone is telling me, you know what, we'll just have just a glass of, you don't, God says drink, but don't get drunk. But I don't even want to taste. I don't care, even if medicine they have. These cough mixtures, they have alcohol. It's fine, but it's just for me to be okay with the cough and all. But I am not going to take a glass of whatever that you're offering me. I am so fine with my drink. I am so fine. I'm perfectly fine. And it doesn't mean that I'm not going to go and sit with people that are drinking. I still go. And I love them, because I know that it's not a person who actually changed me. It's God. And I will just pray for the person. And I know God will change their lives, because only God changed life. It's only God who changes life. So if I see if God takes me to a place whereby I'm going to see that, okay, these people are struggling with this and that, I don't judge them. Who am I to judge after what I have been through? What I do when I'm alone in my closet, in my sanctuary? You know, I remember when I was working in one company, I used to go to a toilet. I used to call it was the last one at the end, because there were like, there's so many toilets in companies, so it was the last one. I used to go there. I used to call it my sanctuary. I will just lock the door and I will cry to God. Not because I'm feeling sad, but the joy of the Lord, the Lord. I will just say, God, you are wonderful. You are worthy for all the praise. Amen. You are God indeed. You have all the power. There is none like you. I will start worshiping Him. It was even before I start to work. And by the time I'm working already, my heart is so full of joy. It's full of, my God. God is just wonderful. It's just great. Like, I'm saying it again, only God changes lives. Amen. And you don't need, even now, you can just decide wherever you are, if you are hearing the Holy Spirit talking to you.
Amen.
God, I accept you. I need you, because you can feel in your heart when you need God in your life. You can see that things are not going right with you. You can feel that, no, I need God in my life. I need, because things change. Your life change. They change for the better. And what happened again is I got retrenched.
Jou oorwinning in Christus Radio. Basrak Web Radio.
Amen. My sister, you were sharing this amazing testimony that you were just out there to be drunk,
yeah,
plat. Before you continue to share with us what happened after that accident and you've been in a coma and then you gave your life to Christ,
yes,
and you're born again, mm-hmm, and you had that desire removed from you for alcohol, that addiction, that spirit out of, mm, your life was cast out of your,
amen,
life. Because I'm totally in agreement with you. After I got born again, my desire to drink was over. If I smell alcohol, I want to throw up. If I smell a cigarette, I want to throw up. And, you know, Jesus, there's so many people around telling how you feel so. That there's nothing wrong with dacha. There's nothing wrong with pot. What would you say to that?
There's everything wrong with all of that dacha and alcohol and all, everything is actually wrong.
Because you can't get rest in it. People say they calm down.
Get addicted
because
to those, and you, there's nothing right that you'll do. Everything that you do will just mess up. Nothing good will come out of that.
There's no rest
all.
In it. No,
there's no rest at all.
So, after you've been born again, what happened then with this man? What? How did you get out of that relationship?
Okay, so because he was just stalking me, everywhere I went, I would see him. He would just appear out of nowhere. Standing by the robots, he would just be putting my bag. And when I turn around, he's there waiting. And he wants to stop me, and he wants to talk to me. Even I'm walking somewhere, I will just see his car driving next to me, and he demands to talk to me. And but then I decided, no, this life, I don't know. I need now my mom. I need my mother. I
need
my queen to help me. Yes,
yes.
The truth, yes, definitely.
The lie must stop.
Yes, the lying had to stop. So I called my mother. I said, Mom, I need your help, because family, the honest truth is family is everything. Family is everything. So my mom came, and I told my mom everything. And this guy came and got to see my mother because he was following me from work. And when I told him that you're wasting my time, my mother, I actually wanted him to know that now I have family in this Johannesburg. I'm no longer alone, so that maybe he can just leave me. He said, no, you're lying, because he knows I'm always alone. No, I don't have family. I didn't even have much friends. So he followed me and decided, okay, so he actually frightened me and told me that if I don't, he's actually going to kill me. And he opened the car and told me that he has a gun in the car and he's going to kill me now. You know what I did? I actually knelt next to the car. I stretched my arms. I said, please do me a favor. Kill me now. Kill me now. I'm tired of living this life as if you are my God, because you're not even my God. Kill me. Let's see if you can do that. Kill me. And then he was so upset that I'm not even scared like I used to be, so scared now. I'm telling him, just kill me. And then so what he did, because he didn't even have that gun, he slapped me. And another man saw him slapping me. And he's like, wow, you are such a coward. Slapping a woman, a lady like that. You're such a coward. How can you do that? And then, I think that hearing a man telling him that, he just got inside the car and he went to wait next to the flat where I was standing, waiting for me there, because I think he wanted to see if my mom was really there. So my mom was in the, my flat was in the basement. So I just called my mom and she had me. She opened the window and she actually saw that it's me. I said, Mom, this is the man I was telling you about. And then he was drunk. He was drunk already, that guy. So he wanted to run, but he decided to come back. So I think that's when he thought that he's going to badmouth, talk all the bad things about me to try. I don't know. I think he was trying to make my mom to hate me, I think. But he started saying all these things, that I'm not the daughter that she thought I was, and all of that. Okay, so the question that my mom asked was, if she is this bad person that you say she is, why don't you leave her? Leave her. If she's not, I mean, you can't make her life so miserable that she can't even be able to move around and have a good life and be happy, because now she is even scared to go out. You are following her around. Leave her. Leave my daughter alone. Just leave my daughter alone for me, please. He's coming here to try and make life for herself. Leave her. But then after, I think after he heard all of that, he decided, okay, this is not working. This lady is, it's obviously my mom can never turn it back on me. He is my mother after all. But then after he left, because he decided to leave, I said, I cried. And because I was now feeling this, all these things, they were coming back to me. I was crying, feeling so bad. And I was feeling so bad about everything that I did. And I started telling my mom everything. And my mom told me, I know we go through those things, but God's plan. God has a plan. Before we were even formed in our mother's tongue, God already planned. You are walking a journey that you were supposed to walk, my child. Don't feel bad about it, but your story is going to help someone one day. And that was it. My mom didn't even judge me and didn't said, you know what? Your story, that's one thing I know, is going to help someone out there for their lives to change for the better. And so my mom hugged me so tight, and I felt amazing. The only place we can find this peace, this amazing peace that surpasses all understanding, is only in Jesus Christ. Amen. And nowhere else. And that is when I got to experience love, genuine love, because I knew my mom has always loved God. Since we were kids, he would take us to church every day, every single day of our lives, during the week, every day. So, fine. After that, I continued to work. Yes, right now my life is not where I want to be, but I am so grateful to God. I'm not where I used to be. Amen. Glory to Jesus. I am so grateful. And I'm not going back. I am going forward with my Jesus. Amen. And yes, I was retrenched last year where I was working, but God is showing something else again, that even in wilderness, I am still there with
Amen.
You. Because now I'm not even asking money from anybody. Instead, people, they are just coming to me, please borrow us money. And I said, you, God, you said, we as your children, we will lend and we will not borrow. This is what Amen. Is happening. But I'm out of job, but already you are providing. You are Jehovah Jireh providing for me.
Glory.
You are just showing off. And I know that God has big plans about my life. Wow. I'm in peace with God. I'm in peace with my life. I know I'm in the right track, and I am not going back to where I used to be. Definitely. Amen. And God has good plans for my life. That I know. And I give all the glory and honor to Jehovah. Jehovah El Shaddai, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Elroy.
God is just everything
to me. I give all the glory and honor to Jesus.
Praise
Amen.
God.
One more thing. I'm so sorry.
Yes.
In 2014, God blessed me with a child. With a child. Her name is Lunji, which means, okay, Lunji Utando, look at Jehovah, meaning that this is how God's love is. I feel like a child is a blessing, even though sometimes it happens that we have children before we married. It happens. But when God blesses you with a child, you thank God for the blessing, and you promise, I promise God that I'm going to raise this child. Because when he blesses us with children, we feel like he's trusting us enough to make sure that they grow in the Lord and become what God wants them to be, and we teach them about God as exactly as what my mom did with us, because they raised us in the Lord, even though the devil fought along the way. He fought very hard, but she blessed me. And the father of the child, my goodness, the father of the child lied to me. He's married. I didn't know when we met that he's married. So I found this, I think, because I was living in my own apartment. We were sharing a two-bedroom apartment with this other lady. So we would meet, just not often, but whenever we would meet once in a while. So and there wasn't anything that wanted me to visit his house. I don't remember asking, let's go to your house. I don't remember. Okay, but anyway. So, and the child now, I gave birth to in Eastern Cape to be next to my mom. And then I went back to Joburg. Then when the child was 2 years, I think she was 2 years, yes. We visited a place next to his workplace. Yeah. And then when we got there, I just said, no, man, let's just pass by him just because I was with my daughter then, just to say hi since I'm with her. Yeah, he would visit us anyway, but then since we were next to his workplace, we decided to visit. Then when I entered the workplace and I was greeted by a lady, and the lady, I called, well, this guy is a doctor. So this lady asked, who is sick? And I said, no one is sick. We good. We're okay. We're well. Okay, but then why are you here if no one is sick? And it's, no, we're visiting the doctor. But why? Why are you visiting the doctor? Because there should be someone sick if you're visiting the doctor. They said, no, this is her daughter. So I just decided, because we were just nearby, I decided, let's just come and let her come and say hi to her dad. This lady looked at me and was like, okay. Okay, can you just come. And then he took me to the surgery where he wasn't there, actually. I think he was doing his rounds around the other hospitals, his rounds. And then he said, do you know who I am? He took me to the surgery where he actually meets the patients. Do you know who I am? I said, no, I don't know who you are, ma'am. And then he's like, I'm the doctor's wife. Oh, I was like, I just wanted to apologize, honestly. I felt bad for her. I didn't even... God had that much that now this man lied, but I felt so bad for this lady because you are married and now the next thing, someone comes with a child and the child is 2 years already and you didn't even know that your husband has a child outside. Oh. And I said, ma'am, I'm so sorry. I really am very sorry. This man told me when we met, I asked, are you not married? Because I don't want to do anything with a married man. Are you not married? He said, no, I'm actually... I paid Lobola, but it didn't work out, so I'm not married. I'm not. Okay? I believed, because we ladies, we have a tendency of believing men all the time, even when they're lying. Okay? Anyway, so I believed him, and that's what I told the lady. That's what I was told. And then he said, you know what? I'm not going to let you go. Please wait upstairs in the boardroom. This man needs to come, and if I tell him the story when you're not here, he will tell me that I'm lying. So we had to wait upstairs for him to come. The minute he came, because she told her that we're waiting upstairs, that there's people that he needs to meet upstairs. When he came, he just looked at the baby and he just went to the child and hugged and all. My God, I'm thinking, okay, fine. But I think he needs to explain at least what exactly is going on, and because that's all he needed, to an explanation. Because I not that I didn't want them to have a bond, but it answered it all, the fact that they ran to each other, the child and the father, and you know. But that's when I got to know about him, that he's married. And then I told him, okay, I didn't know that you are married. I do not want, you will never, actually, that was before I got born again, you will never touch this body again. I knew that God did that for a reason, because I'm even thinking, if this man wasn't married, maybe I wouldn't be saved today, or maybe I was still believing that life, you know, not being born again and all then. So I told him, you will never touch this body again. You need to love your wife. You are married. God put two people together for a reason. There shouldn't be a third person who's going to spoil all of that. You will never... My goodness, men. Okay, not all men. I know born again men, they're not at that. Mm. Born again men, they are not like that. So I told him, okay, fine. And then he told me, but you're my wife. I'm thinking, you're saying I'm your wife. How come I... But you have a wife, and he's trying to make me like I'm stupid or something, I don't know. But then I never argued, because if you argue with a fool, I'm sorry to say that, but if you argue with a fool, you being a fool yourself. Amen. I just decided to keep quiet, but I knew that I wouldn't let him. And then after 2 years, and then that's when God spoke to me, and then my life changed. Father God, and God is good, and I know that there is big plans that He has for my life. And as we live by faith and not by sight. Whatever that is happening, we should speak life into our lives.
Oh, yes.
We should speak life into our lives. Sometimes my daughter asks me, but mom, do you have money? And then I'll be like, oh, You are talking to a billionaire. Oh. How can you ask me? I have all the money in the world. How can you ask me that? Billionaire, you ask me to pay money. All the money in the world. Then most of the time they'll be like, okay, mom, please give us money. Please give us money. And then I'm thinking, oh, God, I'm a billionaire. I must remember that. Then I said, but then there's little now. But go fetch it from the bank. You're a billionaire.
Yeah, amen.
So I give all the glory and honor to Jehovah.
Wonderful. Yeah. We praise the Lord. Lord with you. Yes. And now you've got this amazing neighbor that God brought in your life. A woman, I believe, that can help you also through your trials and tribulations, and can also bring you hope, because for me, something very special happened. You also sat without a work for how long?
For almost 2 years.
You didn't have an income, but God was your provider.
Yes.
And then, what happened with this job that you got?
I've been praying all throughout and waiting patiently upon the Lord. And the enemy tried actually to get me distracted. My cousin, one time, she phoned me to say she got me a space at the bar to go and cook, that I can sell plates there. I went there the first week. It was quite promising, but my spirit said the opposite. Mm. Mm. And I told my sister, she's in Joburg, she's also a believer. I told her that, you know, that is not a place for me. It's not that I'm ungrateful, but God says the opposite.
Yeah.
Mm. And then she says, okay, then if your spirit is not in agreement, then stop and stay at home. I said, okay, I'll try, but I don't want to look ungrateful for the opportunity created. But it's working in contrary to what God has plans for me. Mm. And then I remember, before I decided to quit, I had a dream. I had a dream about my baby daddy, and he was confiding in me, sharing his problems in his marriage. And I was so upset. And I said, God, of all the things that you can reveal, why reveal him, not my plans? Why don't you reveal a vision about my future? And then the next week, I was supposed to go. I told myself, let me keep myself busy. I'm going to go because I don't have my driver's license. And my learners expired, so I'm going to go and for my learners. So on the date that I was supposed to go for my learners, I couldn't find my ID. Then I realized my ID is with my certificates. And I cried, I wept, because I knew that my whole life is screwed. If I lose my matric certificate, my degree, my diploma, everything, and my ID, it's like someone is holding my life hostage. I wept that day and I slept on the couch. Normally I have prayer warriors that if I speak to them, they'll empower me. Everyone that tried to speak live, I was like, I'm not going to pray. Amen. I'm not going to read a word today. I was so hurt. It was so deep in a way that I couldn't utter a word to God. And it felt like God is away from me, because I felt like I'm trying.
Yes.
I'm trying so hard. I'm doing everything that I need to do to make sure that I get to where I need to be, or where I desire to be at. So that day I slept on the couch and I cried and I cried, and I didn't want noise. My daughter is very loud. I didn't want noise. And I said, if you're not going out to play, stay in the room. Laptop, voice down. And I think the Holy Spirit was telling me that everything must be silent. Mm. And then I slept on the couch. And as I was sleeping, I had a vision. And I had a lot of money on the bank account. Almost 1 million.
In the dream.
In the dream, as I was sleeping on the couch. And then when I tried to withdraw this money, it doesn't come out. Then I asked this guy, can you please withdraw money for me? I'm going to transfer it. And the guy says, okay, cool. When I asked him to give me my money, he didn't want to. Mm. And then my elder daughter came. When she came, she waked me up because I love Magnum when I'm stressed out. So that's one thing that makes me still and quiet having a Magnum. Yes. So she brought me Magnums, and she wakes up, "Mom, I've got your Magnums," and I was so happy. So I woke up, I had one, and I told him, "You just woke me out of my dream, you know. I dreamt I had it." Then I shared my dream to her, and I said, "You know, God is showing me that He has deposited everything that I need. My finances are there, but the enemy is fighting." And this can only go, if I can break this chain, it needs fasting and prayer, nothing else. I cannot just pray. And then Friday, I went again to the bar, and another guy approached me. He says, "Where do you go to church?" And I was like, "Newlands Baptist Church." And he's like, "Okay, whatever that you trust in God with, God is going to give you."
Amen.
And then he said, "You've got a gift." I was, "Which gift?" I was so defensive. And he's like, "You dream." So it was an affirmation from God. And I said, "Yes, I do." And he says, "Everything that you dream is true. It's what God is revealing to you." So God used that guy to affirm me that whatever he showed me, it is. Whatever that he has spoken to my spirit to interpret the dream, it is. And then he even assured me that whatever that you trust in God with, carry on praying immediately. Monday, I shut it down and I said, "I'm fasting, I'm praying, and I'm praying up until God answers me." He showed me. He showed me that he released my blessings. Wherever it is held, it must be released. I call upon the angel, the archangel, Angel Michael. Mm. And I said, "I am positioning the heavens. If it's already delivered in heaven, it should submit here in earth, because the kingdom says, the prayer says, 'Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.'" Yeah. So if heaven has agreed that, yeah, I have been delivered, then the earth must submit to what the heaven says.
Amen.
So that was my prayer. That was my prayer. And on the third day, I got a call while I was fasting. On the third day, I got a call, wow, and we saw your CV on Career 24. Never in my life that Career 24 I had an opportunity of an employer to call me or even get an interview or even apply for a job. I always use PNET, any other net, but not Career 24.
Yeah.
And I was so shocked. I was in disbelief. Yeah. And she's like, "Yeah, we've got a position, we just got inside," and we had a nice convo with this lady. "Oh, okay, are you available?" "Yes, I'm available." "Immediately?" "Yes." "Okay, we'll call you again, we're doing shortlisting." "All right, can I save your number?" And she says yes. Friday, I get another call from another one. And I told my sister, I remember, I because I had someone's from my house, so I spoke, I said to my sister, "If God can save this house from summons and bring it back to the bank, He has already made financial provision."
Amen.
And my sister didn't understand. And I said, "God, it should either go to auction or back to me. If it's back to me, there's financial provision. You cannot bring the house and there's no financial provision. Amen. How am I going to pay it?"
Yeah.
So when I phoned my sister to tell her, and she says, she remembered what I said, that if God can restore the house back, He has already made financial provision.
Amen.
Amen.
Speaking faith in the situation,
mm-hmm,
even though you do not know.
Oh, amen.
Where, yes. Amen. And Friday, I got a call for an interview. Normally, I prepare because I want to excel when I go to interview. I want to be the best candidate. And my sister asked me, "Are you preparing?" And I said, "No, the Holy Spirit said, do not prepare."
Hey, Jesus.
I went to the interview. I was very early, as in early, 1.5 or 2 hours early than the actual interview. And I actually interviewed the lady. It was the opposite.
Wow.
I asked her the questions more than she asked me the questions.
Jesus.
And so much she asked for my sizes. What size do you wear on your shoes? already she was taking sizes for the uniform and telling me the process that from here you're gonna do medicals. After medicals, this is what will happen. Are you available? And I said, yes, I'm available. Anything that I need to do, I'm available. Okay, let's discuss the money. And then I gave her the figure. This is what I'm expecting to take home, but we can still negotiate. And then Thursday she called me. Can we discuss again about your income? This is what we can afford. And I said, okay, provided when the business grows, I need to grow.
Wow.
Amen.
If you take me on those terms,
it's gonna grow.
If you take me on those terms, then I'm in. Friday, I actually went to celebrate before I even got the answer. I went out and this lady that I was out with, she asked, but why don't you go to the bar and cook? And I said, I'm tired of looking busy while I'm not busy. You know, Martha and Maria. Martha was busy and she was complaining. And Jesus said, the one that was sitting at his feet was the one that was more productive than the business. And I said, I'm tired of looking busy while I'm not busy. I'm not productive. I'm going to sit on God's feet. I'm going to sit on Jesus' feet and wait for him to deliver anything that I need.
Amen.
And she looked at me like amazed. And I said, no, people get busy, but there's no results. I'm tired. I won't be busy. I'll sit on the feet of Jesus and wait upon him. I've waited all this time. I'll carry on waiting.
Jesus.
And when I came later, I got a call around 6 and they apologized for phoning me late and they said, you've got the job.
Wow. Oh,
and I said, Jesus. Glory to the Almighty King, not by my power, not a hand of man. Mm. All glory to him. Mm. It was not my intellect. I didn't apply for the job. It was not my wisdom. Hallelujah. It was God's wisdom. It was his favor. Mm. The whole process. There was no hand of man. I cannot take credit that I deserved it. I did not deserve it, but God has given it to me.
Glory to
He opened a door that no man can shut.
Yes.
So I praise God and I'm tapping there. He actually reminded me before I left Cape Town, I registered a business and one of the companies that I wanted to do business with, run a canteen, it was Transnet, where I'm going. And God reminded me that I'm sending you to the land to test the land. As he sent the 10 people to go and assess the land. And they came with different reports.
Mm.
And the others were complaining about the giants and all of that.
Yeah.
But two of them came with a good report. And I believe that I'm going to be one of the two that
Amen.
Comes
Hallelujah.
With a good
Amen.
Report as I possess the land.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
All glory belongs to Jesus.
Amen.
Indeed, he is the God of the 11th hour,
Jesus,
a miracle God.
Amen.
And indeed, his promises are yes and amen. Yay. I'm in a foreign place.
Hallelujah.
And when I left Cape Town, God gave me a word that says that where I'm taking you, not all of them serve the same God. And do not copy what they do. I will succeed you.
Don't get transformed to them.
I will succeed you. Do not copy what they do. Just wait upon me. I will succeed you in my own way.
Amen.
Not in their ways. And indeed, I was very challenged when I got here in KZN. Because it's always a God plus. A God plus. When you just say God alone, it doesn't make sense. People are trying with God plus another thing Amen. That helps them. But God says, it's me alone. Do not copy what they copy. And I bless the Lord that his word is fulfilled. Because today I can stand and say it was not by my power nor mightiness, but grace.
Amen.
Grace has carried me through. Amen.
Amen. Amen. My sister, thank you so much. We've got people listening in South Africa, in the Netherlands, United States, Philippines, Ukraine, United Kingdom, Mozambique, Spain, India, even in the Republic of Iran, Islamic Republic of Iran, and in Singapore. People are listening now.
Amen.
Women are listening, especially in places like Iran. where a woman doesn't have a lot of rights. But underneath that, behind that face mask is a broken woman, a hopeless woman. I want you to, sisters, to just give us a worship song. Give us a song together just to minister to them. Your testimonies are trustworthy testimonies that saves lives. And after this song, what's in your hearts, just to sing to them. And then I want you to pray for that woman. Lead them to Christ, if you will. Thank you.
Jehovah is your name. Jehovah is your name. Jehovah is your name. Is your name Jehovah? Jehovah is your name, mighty warrior, mighty warrior, great in battle. Jehovah is your name, Jehovah is your name, Jehovah. Jehovah is your name, mighty warrior, mighty warrior, great in battle, Jehovah is your name, mighty warrior.
To everyone that is listening from each and every country or city that seeks the God that is alive, the God that raised on the third day, Jesus Christ, the only God that has overcome the world.
Yes, Jesus.
He has overcome the world for us.
Yes, Jesus.
He has defeated the enemy through our lives. We are the living testimony.
Hallelujah.
For every woman, every single parent, hallelujah, every teenager, every young man, from every angle where you are challenged, won't you come to Jesus?
Hallelujah.
Won't you open your heart and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Hallelujah.
Won't you take the rock of ages,
hallelujah,
the chief cornerstone,
Jesus?
For the Bible says, if you build on your own, you build in vain.
Hallelujah.
But if you build on the rock, the chief cornerstone, Jesus,
hallelujah,
whatever that you build will stand.
Jesus.
Won't you build your life now on top of your chief cornerstone, that foundation is so solid that even if you are in the valley or in the mountains, you will not be moved nor shaken.
Hallelujah.
I invite you, Jesus, wherever you are, that say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, come into my life, come into my house, come into my heart, change my being, change my mind, change everything about my life, that it pleases you. I accept you as the Lord and Savior. I believe what is written on the Bible, that you died and you raised on the third day.
Amen.
And you died for our sins, that we may have life and life in abundance.
Hallelujah.
I accept you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And I proclaim that you are the King. Mm. You are the Son of God.
Amen.
You are the Trinity.
Jesus.
You are from God the Father.
Jesus. Mm.
You are the Son of God.
Amen.
And you are the Holy Spirit that God has left us with.
Yes, Lord.
You are the Trinity.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
God has forgiven your sins.
Hallelujah.
God remembers your sins no more.
Hallelujah.
The word says, whoever accepts Jesus, he is set free. And indeed, he is free. You are free, my brother. You are free, my sister, today.
Thank you, Jesus.
There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
You are set free today.
Hallelujah.
Your sins are not remembered anymore.
Hallelujah.
It doesn't matter which sin you have done.
Thank you, Jesus.
Forgive yourselves, because God has already forgiven you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because you made a choice today.
Amen.
To accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior.
Hallelujah.
We are starting a new chapter.
Hallelujah.
A new life. God is rewriting your life.
Mm.
Because
Hallelujah.
You have given all. You have surrendered all to Him. And only Him is the Lord and Savior. That is someone from the heaven to come on earth. We thank you, Jesus. For we know that it is done, and by your stripes we are healed.
Amen.
By your blood, Jehovah, we are cleansed.
Hallelujah.
From top to bottom.
Yes.
Cleanse whoever that feels that they are sinful, they are filthy. I know that your blood washes whiter than the snow. Indeed, my brother, my sister, you are set free.
Hallelujah.
Be free in Hallelujah. Jesus' mighty name. Receive the freedom
name of
in Jesus' name.
Name of Jesus.
Believe, utter with your mouth and say, I am free indeed
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Oh, let
Hallelujah.
God be glorified
Hallelujah.
By your decision.
Hallelujah.
That you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior today.
Hallelujah.
It doesn't matter who you are with. God wants you alone. The encounter must be with you.
Yes, Lord.
And God alone.
Yes, yes, yes.
You do not need a witness, because the Holy Spirit is there to witness
Hallelujah.
For you on your behalf.
Jesus.
We bless the Lord for your life, my brother, my sister.
Hallelujah.
We know, we are assured that your life will never be the same again.
Thank you, Jesus.
And you have a testimony one day
Thank
that
you
will share with us. Be blessed. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. My sister, thank you so much. It was, wow. 2 hours, over 2 hours and 40 minutes. And then it doesn't even feel like that.
Amen.
And it's just like we can go on and go on and go on.
Oh, yes.
Because we can never stop speaking about this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Master, King, Savior, Lord, the lover of our souls, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Bless you. May you continue to go from glory to glory to glory to glory.
Amen.
From power to power, and those deep desires in your heart.
Amen.
Amen.
I pray that it will be your share, that God will give it to you.
Amen.
Just continue to lose yourself in Him. Worship Him and adore Him.
Amen.
My dear listener, thank you for tuning in. Share this podcast with people. Share it with people all over. My heart's a bit long, but it's worth it.
Amen.
Every minute, every second is worth it. God bless you. We love you. And we appreciate you. Bye-bye.
Hallo aan al ons Basrak vriende. Ek het vir julle goeie nuus. Jy kan nou enige tyd, enige plek na ons Basrak programme luister. Deur dit gratis te gaan aflaai op ons Basrak potgooi webblad. Al wat jy moet doen is om die Basrak webblad te besoek by www.basrak.tv.
Jou oorwinning in Christus Radio. Basraak Web Radio.